Welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. Hope you're all doing well. Let's talk a minute about signal versus noise. To start with, I think it's safe to say that damn near everything the globalists put out via mainstream media is propaganda and noise. They're just not incentivized to bring you signal, nor to keep you informed or to awaken you or empower you. That's not in their self-interest, is it? Why would it be? If you want to control the population from the top down, then treat people like mushrooms. Keep them in the dark and feed them shit, which is exactly what they do. All signal at this point comes from citizen journalists, independent and critical thinking anons, and podcasts like yours truly. Oh, I'm not implying that I have nothing but signal, but at least I'm trying to help you. I respect you and your awakening, and I'm trying to assist humanity in any way I can. This has always been and always will be the mission here at Basecamp. And there are so many others that are doing their small part, like my guest today. And one of the points of 2024 and beyond is to wake people up to the fact that we're in a non-kinetic 5G war, a new type of warfare that features propaganda and disinformation from both sides, by the way, the use of cyber warfare and AI, and the emergence of decentralized platforms that are censor-resistant and pro-freedom, and a fierce fight for the narrative high ground, which we're seeing in spades, are we not? This has been and will be a heavyweight fight, and it is not a Republican-Democrat divide, nor a liberal-Christian divide, nor a pro-government libertarian divide. It is the globalists and their totalitarian top-down control of our human population that they seek to reduce so as to control us in an easier way, and we the people on the other side with our own tools to subvert and create systems that work well for us. I recently listened to a podcast with General Quast as a guest. I like to listen to these high military officers speak with insight and intelligence about the war we're in. I feel like this approach puts you in much more in alignment with signal than just listening to whatever noise they're throwing at you. Quast even talks about how effective the Q drops, a military psyop, has been to create and activate a citizen journalist movement to show people just how corrupt and evil the cabal is. Q sketched it out. The Anons filled in the painting in vivid colors with trafficking children, sexual blackmail scandals. Hell, you just had another one hit the airwaves this week with P. Diddy. Treason in the highest of places, the enemy inside the fortress. We're seeing all of this in real time. My two cents? Find yourself someone who takes time to research and befriend them. Start asking questions and stop poo-pooing all the people who are working to bring you this information for your benefit. Continue to wake yourself up, even if it's uncomfortable. This is what's required of a true hero's journey, is it not? My guest today is a woman who felt called to assist us in this great awakening that we've been talking about over the years. Let's go sit around the fire and listen for the signal that will assist us in our forward movement. Enjoy. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Anna Kane. Anna is a patriot, a Christian, a mother of six who co-founded the independent newspaper The Flame. Here is my interview with Anna Kane. All right, I am here with Anna Kane, mother of six, patriot, libertarian, entrepreneur. Anna Kane. Anna, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony, for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, you and I first came into contact with each other a few years back during the COVID thing. We were at a mutual event of a friend of ours, a colleague, another patriot. It was the Freedom March. We were out there to stand in our freedom to choose for ourselves what kind of, you know, lives we're going to live and what kind of things we're going to do to ourselves. So we had a connection there. And then I found out you and your friend Nicole were cranking up a publication called The Flame. So I subscribed to that. And that was just this great and continues to be this great, like, citizen journalist, great stories, alternate perspectives on things that you're not going to see if you're just clicking on mainstream media. And I always saved your contact information, and I just I think God wanted me to speak with you because I just kept noticing it on my desk the last few weeks. And so I reached out and you were game. And you've got a podcast too, so congratulations.
Yes.
But I just wanted to ask you, how did you and Nicole start the flame? What was happening? I guess give us a little bit of a backstory. You're a mother of six, so I can't imagine you have much time for anything other than that. But I think it probably was COVID, right? Was that really an important part of the backstory?
Yeah, absolutely. Being a mom, you have your day-to-day stuff, bathing and feeding and getting them places and all of those things. But ultimately, we have a world to leave behind for them. And your kids, your grandkids, their kids. And so when you see so much happening around you and, God is just downloading discernment over and over again, it's a place that you can't ignore because none of the bath times, none of the sporting events, none of the meal times, none of the just, sitting and cuddling next to a movie matters if the environment that they go into is being destroyed. Definitely that was the great motivator. And, the event that we met at, even that event was an eye-opener. I'm from Lake Stevens. And years ago, on a regular basis, probably, seven times a year, we'd drive to Seattle for a nice dinner. And the city was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful to be there. And during the event that I met you at, it was like a whole nother world. It was like zombie land.
I know.
And it was crazy because I was talking to Jonathan Cho probably about a year ago. We interviewed him and we were just talking about, the open drug use just, right outside businesses, right outside Starbucks, mind you.
I know.
And I shared the story of at that event going in to get coffee. And there was four people openly using heroin right outside the door. And as I walked in, the people behind the desk were like, hey, if you're not wearing a mask, we can't serve you.
Right.
And I just stopped in my tracks and I looked at them. I'm like, so I can't purchase a cup of coffee because I won't cover my face, but people can openly use heroin right outside your door and that's okay.
Yeah.
And, Jonathan Cho was like, Anna, people don't believe that. Like they don't believe it's happening unless they go down there and see it themselves.
Right.
And so that cognitive dissonance, right, where we see all of these problems happening, yet even as we try to tell people about it, it's just not being received. And so I just wanted to share that story because that day was a huge eye-opener to me on the cognitive dissonance. Nicole and I, we've known each other, gosh, almost 20 years. And when the lockdowns happened, God, downloaded a lot of discernment for me. And I knew right away something wasn't right. Everything was just fishy. And I would talk to my husband about it. And he's like, Anna, you're just being crazy. It's just a couple days, calm down. And I'm like, no, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. They're going to try to force vaccinate everyone. This is horrible. And he's like, just calm down, calm down. And so then, we went into lockdowns, churches closing. My church in particular didn't open for over a year. And during that time, one of the first churches that opened was Pursuit in Snohomish.
Yep.
And they had a weekend event. And I went there and saw Nicole again for the first time in a few years. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not listening. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, God's been telling me that I'm going to do social media influencing and write short stories. And I think that's crazy. It's completely out of my wheelhouse. So I'm just not listening right now. And she's like, oh, that's easy. I've written books. I could help you. Let's get together. And so we made an appointment to get together. And during that time, she had saw Sean Jason with Druthers out of Canada on Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's show. And she knew Sean Jason from some previous work. And she's like, what about a newspaper? And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. So we reached out to him just to see, you know, how he was doing things. And he asked Nicole if, you know, she would like to lead the U.S. with distributing Druthers. And so she called me and she's like, hey, what if we, you know, we're out of time, because this, at this point, it's like months into COVID.
Yeah.
She's like, we're out of time. This paper's already standing and we can get a ton of information out real quick. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we did distribution. And Druthers got super busy in Canada and couldn't provide U.S. content. And so they decided to pull out of the U.S. And through, you know, just doing meetings with Druthers and meeting people, we had actually spoken to a person that had the flame kind of sitting on the back burner. Nothing had happened with it. And they were like, hey, if you want to take that on, you know, here you go. And so the flame was born to break through censorship during those COVID times. You know, we saw the lockdowns, you know, the masking, the distancing, the forced vaccinating, and then massive censorship of what was really going on. Yeah. And so paper was the only way to break out of that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, on your website, you say, you know, we've been in this war, this information war, and most people don't realize that. I just heard a podcast interview with General Quast. And he's a fascinating guy, you know, and he's talking about, you know, that very thing, saying, you know, the public doesn't realize that we're in an insurgency. And when he said insurgency, he said, like when George Washington and those founders had an insurgency against the British, he goes, it's the same thing, because the government, the deep state and the government, it was really just simple. He's like, they will continue to create more one crisis after the next. And in the crisis, they will take away your constitutional rights. Obviously, during COVID, they created a crisis. Mm-hmm. And then they started to say, you've got to take this shot. You must wear a mask. We're going to mandate these things. And we're going to drum it in the media. We're going to keep the, you know, the death counter up there. And we're just going to try to scare the hell out of everybody to comply, so that we can take away more and more of your freedom. And mm-hmm. He goes, the insurgency is, can we wake enough people up and stand up like Washington and the founders did, to say, he basically said, we've gotten too complacent. We're basically an empire, like the Roman Empire. We're in decline, but that doesn't mean we have to go all the way to the bottom. He goes, and I loved it, because he says, I'm very optimistic. He goes, if we ignore it for 10 years, the culture is going to change, because the schools have been overtaken by the globalists and the Marxists. And mm-hmm. so they're educating the kids to hate America. They don't teach them civics, so they have no idea that there was even a civil war or a revolutionary war. They don't even know these things now. And so he goes, you know, there's time to reverse the damage that's been done. But the first part is to get everybody to realize, look, we're in a battle right now, and the enemy has infiltrated our education system and our politics, and we have to wake everybody up. And there's time, but everybody's got to roll up their sleeves to their best of their ability. And so I know you're doing that. I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about, you know, I think part of it, you're seeing the war like before your husband, who's going, calm down, let this pass. And you're going, I don't think you understand. We're in a war, and I'm just realizing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What is the question? Just like, how to wake people up, or are we seeing people waking up, or?
Yeah, where are you optimistic right now with where we're at? Like, there's so much doom and gloom, but there's also all these really great optimists that are saying, no, 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 our sleeves are rolled up. People are waking up. We've got the numbers and doesn't matter what the media says. So yeah, I guess I just want to get your take on, like, you have six kids. Are you like, are we going to leave it in better shape for them? Are you optimistic of that? Or are you still like super concerned? Cause you're like, I don't know. It's 50-50, you know?
Yeah. I'm super optimistic, Tony. Fortunately, our overlords have overplayed their hand.
I agree.
And they played their hand so far right that the pendulum just has to smack back. Yeah. And so, yes, I'm super optimistic. People are waking up. And I'm sad at the same time, Tony, because the reality is that people are waking up because people are suffering. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're going to see, you know, I told people 2 years ago, stop watching mainstream media and just get out in your neighborhood. What mm-hmm. are you doing? You know, people catching COVID. Okay. Are they dying around you? Or do they have, you know, the flu, right? Mm-hmm. See people getting vaccinated. Now, how are they reacting? Is everybody scared or are people just like, oh, this isn't a big deal, right? Get into your own neighborhoods and see what's going on. Yep. In my own neighborhood, a bunch of people got COVID. I got COVID. And everybody did fine. Then the vaccine rollout. In my own neighborhood, I have one neighbor who has been in the hospital three times in the last year and a half for weeks at a time, cannot no longer work, is in pain all of the time. I have my mom. My mom never sick in her entire life. In fact, she has perfect. She's a school bus driver, perfect attendance for 19 years. Was just hospitalized for 5 days. My father, perfectly good health, hospitalized for 9 days in the last year. Yeah. So we're seeing these people who chose to be vaccinated and go along with this narrative thinking they did the right thing. I want to be clear. I'm not for grouping people. I'm right. about coming together collectively and getting this problem solved. And I do believe that the people who did get vaccinated can repent and heal themselves. So I do want to be clear about that. But when they're not doing that, they're being injured. So I'm optimistic things are going to change and are changing because they have to change because people are now being injured. Look at our economy. People are having a hard time paying their rent, paying their mortgages, putting food on the table, putting gas in their car. It's going to change. It is changing, but people are being injured in the meantime.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Anna, that, you know, I tried to sound the alarm bell on the vaccinations because I was like, I'm not really sure what this mRNA technology is. Like, nobody really knew. And I'm like, and then the globalists and big pharma really got out over their skis, like insisting, you know, and I'm like, why do they want us to get this so bad? And this is from big pharma, like who trusts these guys anyways, right? So that was my approach. And I try to tell all my loved ones, you know, my family didn't get it, but you know, I have those in my inner circle that got it. And those that were in my inner circle that got really mad at me because I was vocal against it. And so, but I feel vindicated, not that I'm happy that there's all these vaccine injuries. It's appalling to me. But one of the things, and I don't need people to reach out and say, you know, I, on second thought, I think you might have been right. Although I did have a good friend of mine who was vaccine injured reach out to me quite recently and say, I screwed that up. I wish I wouldn't have got that. And I think the proof is in that they have done a study and said, hey, we want to roll these vaccines out every year to keep you from getting COVID. And only like 7 or 8% of Americans said they would get it. So to me, it doesn't matter that, you know, your father or your brother who got the shot, you know, they may not reach out to you and go, damn, I wish I wouldn't have got the first one, or you were right about that. They don't have to do that. The fact that nobody wants the new ones tells me that they've heard the messages we were putting out, but also maybe did their own research, like stuff came across their feed. They're like, what's up with all this myocarditis? And why do these young athletes keep collapsing? That's weird. And they finally put it together.
Or on top of that, they got vaccinated and then got COVID.
Yeah, I know. That was the other thing, is it didn't stop them from getting it. Exactly. So yeah, precisely. Which is part of the awakening too, right? They're like, oh, I guess. But yeah, and I wanted to ask you, I was a liberal for 30 years, full disclosure, but I was a traditional liberal. We're known as conservatives now. Like I was accepting of people's lifestyle. You know, I wasn't judgmental. If you were, a woman that was married to a woman, I'm like, I don't really care, man. If that's what brings you happiness, that's, good on you. I was never... I was kind of a live and let live libertarian. I was used to be a left-leaning libertarian, but then they radicalized the left so much with their pronouns and transgender and all the hate America stuff that, and CRT and all that jazz and just what they've done with kids, in schools. I'm like, that is so gross that now I'm considered, a right-wing libertarian, I guess you could say. And I used to think, Seattle being such a liberal city, I'm a minority, but I don't know. I think they're desperate for us to think that we're vastly outnumbered. But the more that I talk to people here, the more I realize, I think libertarians and conservatives have just been really good at keeping quiet because we didn't want to get a brick thrown through our window. And so we've just kind of quietly worked hard and provided for our families and minded our own business. But now that they're coming after the kids, I think all these libertarians and conservatives that were kind of quiet and stated themselves are like, wait a minute, this isn't good enough anymore. I got to roll up my sleeves and find my voice. And I might still be a minority, although I'm not convinced that much anymore. So I guess I wanted to ask you, how has it been for you as a conservative living in, a very liberal state, I guess?
Well, first of all, we're not the minority. We are the majority. And that's just simply stated going out into your community. Yeah. Because when just this summer, they had a gay pride parade, right? Mm-hmm. And they had it down in my area at a park. And, I'm very active in my community. My kids all play select sports. Mm-hmm. I'm always on some sort of, soccer field, basketball court, baseball field, and very active politically as well. And, I don't know a single person who went to, that
gay pride.
Event.
Yeah.
Right. But then I see pictures online as if the place was completely packed, right?
Really? Yeah.
It's funny enough that they chose one of the busiest parks in Lake Stevens to go to. Oddly enough, all the pictures that are taken are basically pointed to the common areas where people are always at.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is totally by design to make it seem like these events are actually being attended when the reality is people are just using their parks per usual.
Right.
And then you see the same people going and representing, on social media, showing up at the same events at the Pride event in Arlington, right? Yeah. Which is, a couple cities over. And so what I saw in that is that it's basically a group of people that is just going city to city and making it seem like there's these organizations everywhere.
Right.
It's the same people. I don't know anybody who is excited about all of the gender pressures in the schools or want their children to be taught those things.
Yeah.
And to an extreme, our kids talk about the fear that was implanted in adults during COVID. Imagine the fear that is implanted in our children right now. You have social media on the rise. All these kids have phones. They're, you know, constantly looking on at content that isn't age appropriate, worrying about everything. Now they're worrying about, you know, how they dress. Not that kids weren't always worrying about how they dress, but how they're viewed in how they dress. Everything is so up in the air. There's no right. There's no wrong. All these kids are confused. And when you're in confusion, there is that fear. But the reality is we are not the minority. They determine, you know, whether we're a Republican state or a Democratic state. But I tell you what, it's a small group of people that are directly in Seattle. Nowhere else in our state believes this crap or wants this crap. In our schools, we want, you know, we want crime to be down. We want homelessness to be down. We want to deal with our, you know, our drug problem. We want to deal with crime. We want to be able to put gas in our car and not feel like we have to go take out, you know, a second mortgage, the normal things. And I think that right now we need to focus on the commonalities of things. So, you know, we have groupings and that's how, you know, the Lord's to be, the government overreach is happening is to group us. So if I ask you a question and you fall in a group that I don't agree with, you're automatically my enemy and we won't talk anymore, right?
Right.
We need to come to a place of commonality. Nobody agrees in sexualizing children. Nobody agrees that they're happy about crime. Nobody agrees that they are happy about our inflation. Nobody agrees that they're happy about our homeless problem. Nobody agrees that they're happy about our drug problems.
Right.
And so we have to come together on topics that make us all the majority.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And it's like, The whole AI thing too, like I think there's AI that's probably pro humanity and pro, you know, upliftment for us. And then there's probably, you know, AIs like Google and even TikTok. Like TikTok's from China, and it's not to throw all Chinese people under the bus. That's not what I'm saying. But the CCP, their goal is very much in alignment with the globalists of totalitarian control. They want more control, and if they can invade America via a soft invasion, get all American kids listening to TikTok, they can drop in. I don't know what goes on TikTok. I'm not watching it. I don't know what the kids are seeing, but I can imagine if, you know, who was it? Malcolm X said, don't ever let your enemy educate your children. Well, our enemy is educating our children both through the public schools because it's been infiltrated with this Marxist, you know, these Marxist ideas. And then TikTok is educating the children in ways that we don't even know. So,
you hit a great topic there because so many people, you know, they're trying to ban TikTok right now. And so many people are like, oh yeah, it's a spy agent. It's a spy agent. And I laugh because every single one of our stoplights has a camera that is produced in China that China has access to.
Right.
So they're watching us regardless of TikTok. The problem with TikTok is not them being able to spy on us. It's exactly what you just stated. Mm-hmm. It's that they are educating our children to be stuck on a screen to a point that they're not acting as a human. They're not interacting with other people. They're not interacting relationally. They're no longer being able to hold their attention to anything that's important. And that's the problem with TikTok.
Well, and they don't let their own children have TikTok. TikTok is Chinese Communist Party produced for an American and Western audience. They don't let their own kids watch that stuff.
No, because they're educating their children to take over.
Exactly. I've seen some videos of like I don't know whether it was in Beijing or whatever, but it showed like a teacher. I don't know if you've seen this video. It's a teacher and they take like a 5-minute break and she cranks up like some sort of punk rock and the kids just go crazy, like, you know, banging on their desks and just getting their energy out. But you watch that and you go, uh-oh, there, that's the right way to get children's energy flowing and take a break from math is to like crank up Nirvana and let them bang around for a while. And I'm like, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at their expression and the energy and the, just the life force that's flowing. And the teacher is totally into it. I'm like, boy, our classrooms don't look that way. We're like, oh, got to watch out for trigger warnings and be careful you don't upset everybody. I mean, it's just like this culture of obedience and being overly cautious and everything. You got to be careful. Don't offend anybody. And I'm like, what are we grooming compared to what they're building? Which is like, they look to be building mentally and physically tough humans. We're like grooming all these snowflakes. Like, I know I'm not saying every kid is a snowflake, because I know a lot of kids that are tough, but I'm just saying the overall reach and what the effect of the education systems in both countries, it's pretty stark and pretty scary if you're an American looking at the two. And I know I'm only looking at a, you know, 1-minute video of a Chinese, you know, classroom. I'm just comparing that. I don't see any that coming out of an American classroom.
I'll tell you what's coming out of our American classrooms. Teachers that are literally broken down mentally and crying in front of their students because mm-hmm. their students are spending time on social media and thinking things are funny that aren't funny. Mm-hmm. And everybody's in an emotional wreck. That's what's happening in America classrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you lose friends during the COVID thing? I mean, I lost a whole bunch and I feel like part of it is like, you know, I'm talking, I did an episode with my friend Noelle and she was talking about, I just realized that she's more gracious than I am in keeping people that don't think the same way. I just felt like I was making everybody uncomfortable because I was calling stuff out. And I just was like, I don't want to trigger people. I don't want people getting all upset. But I did. And I, you know, and some, I don't know if I'll talk to them again. Maybe I will. I have no idea. But it's just like, just on principles, me standing for freedom and libertarian values and the Constitution and stuff was so massively confronting for a group of friends of mine that I lost a whole bunch. And I'm okay with it and not okay at the same time. Like it if I think about it, it's kind of sad, you know, but also to bring it back to what you were saying earlier in the conversation, like I had to be discerning about what kind of conversations I was going to be having. And I didn't want to be shouted down every time my opinion or my perspective or my insights didn't jive with the mainstream hive mentality that I was seeing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does. And Tony, yeah, I definitely made people uncomfortable. I wasn't invited to family gatherings because I wasn't vaccinated. And, you know, for me, I'm blessed, you know, I'm very close to the people that I'm in relation with. And so they know my heart. They know my heart is loving and kind. And so I think it was confusing for them because they know that I'm loving and kind, and I wouldn't be saying something if it wasn't out of love. And so they just kind of distanced themselves. I wouldn't say I lost relationships. They just distanced themselves. Yep. And for me, how I took that was fine because I know they love me enough to just distance themselves. And I knew that things were going to come out and that was going to change, that they were going to come back and not necessarily come back and be like, I'm sorry that I distanced myself and, you know, whatever, but just come back and go, wow, she's not as crazy as I thought she was. You know what I mean? And that we could pick up and move on, because I do believe that, you know, most people make their decisions based on the circumstances they're in, and everybody has the right to make those, even if I don't agree, and I'm going to love them through that. But I can tell you that I have, you know, the vaccine injured people in my life have come back and been like, thank you for just loving me. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry I didn't listen. And I felt like, I feel like I've been duped. And, you know, I tell them, I'm like, at the end of the day, you're going to be the one who changes things, mm-hmm. because now you're the one who's been injured. You're the one that can speak up. And now this is your experience. It's not just what I'm saying against the mainstream narrative, right?
Right.
This is now your testimony. And so I've said for 2 years that we, again, need to be banding together with the people who were against us, because they ultimately are the ones that change things.
Well, and to your point, the ones that have been injured by the vaccines, they're powerful allies, especially when they, if they were not coerced into doing it. In other words, they thought it was a really smart idea to get it. And maybe they didn't even like what you and I were saying about it before they got it, but then they were injured. And now they've come over to speak out against it because of the repercussions and the circumstances now. And so I think the vaccine injured are a powerful, powerful ally in the fight for freedom right now, because
they're going to work harder than you and I. And the reason is it's personal now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're going to work harder and they're going to scream louder and faster. And they're going to have the story to back it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you and I, yes, we have the information to back it. But for some reason, that cognitive dissonance just comes up and people just like, no. But when it becomes a personal experience and it becomes their testimony, you can't discredit that.
Absolutely. Well, Anna, thanks so much for coming on. I wanted to finish up by just giving you a chance to talk about The Flame. You've got a podcast. And then how can people subscribe to the newsletter or the newspaper? What do you guys got going on, and where can people find you?
TheFlameUSA.com is where people can find us. We do a publication for the people, by the people. I always tell people it is a tool that every American can use to have a 60-minute conversation with people they don't even know. So social media is an amazing way to get things out, but it's highly censored with algorithms. And if you say something they don't like, they take it down. A paper cannot be censored. That's why we do paper. And so we encourage people. Our model is for people to get 1 to 300 copies and get them out into their communities. And so we can continue to be educating people and waking people up and getting true informed information out, solution-based. And yeah, we do a podcast. You can find that at theflameusa.com. We're on Rumble. And we've been blessed. God has blessed us with the most amazing guests, the most amazing conversations. We touch bases on everything from education, government overreach, political issues, homeless issues. We do a lot of things with health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that is one of our, you know, second greatest tools, is if we are working hard on keeping our bodies healthy and our minds healthy, then, you know, these viruses, they can't come for us. All of this, you know, mental abuse that we're seeing, it can't come from us or for us if we're healthy within ourselves. So health and wellness is definitely, you know, a big part of what we do. We encourage people to write articles on things that they are, you know, well educated in. Again, you know, we're not doctors, we're not lawyers, we're not politicians. We look for people that have that information and share their knowledge out on paper. We are always looking for volunteers. You can donate at theflameusa.com. We do need funding in order to, you know, keep moving forward. And mostly I would ask, if people are wondering what they can do is use somebody, a resource and somebody else's tool to get out. And that is theflameusa.com. We also just launched the Flame Press. And the Flame Press is basically a white label paper that any candidate organization can contact us, and we can create a paper for them and get it out into the community. And this is also a way that those organizations and candidates can fundraise for themselves. They can sell ads or they can actually have a subscription box and have people, you know, getting their paper on a regular basis. So it is a way for them to also get revenue. And we've been blessed. We just acquired the Mill Creek View, which is a paper that's been in circulation, I believe, 29 years. And so that just happened this last week. And so we're working hard on getting, you know, getting that up and going in a greater capacity. So we have a lot going on, and all of our information is at theflameusa.com, and feel free to contact us.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Anna, for coming on. I really appreciate you making time and sharing your insight and your wisdom. Good luck with all the stuff that you've got going on, and come back again and talk to us, and just good luck with the Flame. I hope you guys just keep growing and just keep doing the great work you're doing.
Absolutely, Tony. Thank you for having me. And, you know, the same. I'm just so excited when somebody reaches out and is doing a podcast. We thank you for all of your work. It collectively takes all of us.
I hope you enjoyed our time with Anna Kane. She illustrates something that is alive in America right now, a willingness to roll up our sleeves to help save our beloved republic. If ever there was a time to do what you can to ensure a bright future for America and the world, now is that time. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.